Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse MCLA Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined as always by David Franklin, and we will be bringing in Michigan State head coach Brandon Schwind later in the podcast. We thank you as always for joining us. Hope you're finding us on InsideLacrosse.com, on iTunes, Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, or elsewhere. Also hope you're telling your friends about us if you like what you hear. David, as we talked about last week, we are now getting into the mid-season portion of things, and obviously as spring breaks continue to pop up and trips across the country continue to shape the MCLA landscape before conference play starts in earnest, here we are with a lot of MCLA action to discuss. What were your thoughts about what unfolded over the course of the last week?
Well, as we hit what is truly the mid-season section of the MCLA season, don't tell that to our guest Brandon Schwind, who will now just start his season as the first-year head coach at Michigan State with three big games against Duluth, Colorado State, and Illinois. But coming out of the weekend, I think it's really important to note that top-ranked defending champ Colorado State and their crosstown rival, number four, Buffaloes, did a good job of keeping their resumes clean as a number 14-ranked currently Virginia Tech team. And Simon Fraser, who is now bumped out of the poll, came to town in Colorado and Colorado State, pretty much holding strong their undefeated records for Centennial Lacrosse in MCLA country. And as we talk coming off of our last podcast about our guests from last week, Andy Garrigan from Texas and Dallas Hartley from Chapman, number 12 Texas Longhorns going out to California, really taking down the University of San Diego in fashion, really pummeling the Toros 27-5, and then had a really significant lead over a highly ranked UCSB team in the last minutes, but the Gauchos showing that they are a little bit of a more experienced club at this juncture, pulling out the wind and perhaps what was a bit of a defensive meltdown for the Longhorns. Texas now, of course, prepares for a Sonoma State team that was ranked 11th in the last poll and drops to 15 over a monumental win that will go down in Oregon State's history.
Well, let me jump in right there, because as you say prepares, it's worth noting for our fans and listeners that we are recording this podcast earlier than usual on Tuesday as a byproduct of March Madness on the basketball side for David, on the lacrosse side for me, that'll have us traveling and otherwise occupied later in the week. And as it is on Tuesday, we're looking ahead to some big matchups. You mentioned the Texas Sonoma State as being one, but why don't you dive into some of the other ones in addition to the Longhorns locking up with Sonoma State?
No question. Well, of course, there's something to be talked about with the Simon Fraser Virginia Tech neutral site game that will, of course, take place there in Colorado, as both teams coming off of their respective games with the Rams and Buffaloes staying in the Mile High territory to play each other in what will be a very pivotal out-of-conference bracket buster game for each of them. Virginia Tech holding number 14 strong in the poll, as mentioned before. Simon Fraser getting bumped out of the poll, of course, with the win here, could quickly see themselves get back in. And then Sam Houston State, Palm Beach Atlantic on the Division II side has some really monumental results, as we'll talk about a little bit later. That's really where a lot of the variations on the Division II poll came out of, the results of the Sailfish event shootout that took place in Palm Beach, Florida. But Sam Houston State is the team that really did a good job of showing last week that they are much more than just a consistent conference championship who has been able to earn their way to the MCLA tournament via that AQ. But the Lone Star Alliance, similarly enough to the UMLC in Division I, the Lone Star Alliance joining the WCLL is yet another Division II conference that is operating without an AQ. That being because the University of Houston is an FBS football institution playing in Division II, so they are not eligible for the tournament. And Mary Hardin, a new team to the conference, is also viewed as not national tournament eligible by the conference or the national committee. So with that, Sam Houston State also lives and dies by their out-of-conference schedule. A huge win over Elon, and now as they play Palm Beach Atlantic, a team that, of course, got a monumental win over a second-ranked Grand Valley State team, lost to a number 20 ranked SCAD team, and as far as PBA is concerned, a team that was very much looking to break into the top 10, seal up an AQ, a for sure AQ, and earn their right to their first MCLA tournament as a program, now have the Sam Houston State game to look forward to. While Sam Houston needs the out-of-conference win to keep their hopes alive operating without an AQ. And PBA, of course, with those losses, or with that loss to SCAD and playing Western Washington close thereafter, really now needs the Sam Houston State win in order to seal up an AQ that they could have gotten just by winning out with SCAD. And just to wrap up from last week on the Division One side, Dallas Hartley was a great guest. Chapman jumps into number 5 in the poll, gets a number 5 ranking after an 11-4 win over Cal Poly, a team that beat Chapman in overtime last year. Cal Poly still ranked at 18 with a 2-4 record, but those 4 losses, of course, to all teams currently ranked in the top 10.
Well, and as you mentioned, obviously, the new poll, Nike Inside Lacrosse coaches poll coming out on Tuesday. Let's stay there in Division One. You know, one thing that kind of jumps out to me a little bit, Stanford at number 3, Colorado at number 4. There's a quality versus quantity debate to go on there, given that Stanford, you know, has played more games. What was your, what's your impression of the breakdown?
When it comes right to it, when you compare the way that number Stanford comes into the number 3 spot in the poll and the way that Colorado sits there at number 4. Stanford has played one more game than Colorado with an 8-0 record, while Colorado sits there at 7-0. And when you take a look at their like opponents, they both played Oregon. Stanford, of course, doubled up on the Ducks 14-7. And Colorado, of course, just pulling out a 1-goal win over Phil Keebler's team 7-6. So I think that ranking is more or less fair, that Stanford stays as the higher ranked team for now.
And moving on, Boston College and Minnesota Duluth jumping into the top 10. What are your thoughts on that?
Really not surprised to see it. Boston College, of course, coming off of a big overtime win in Austin over Texas, really making a theme of it, opening up their season in a big way, taking down Florida State in overtime. They really didn't have an opportunity to lose anything as this weekend unfolded, as they didn't play. So I think that as other teams kind of broke down and teams such as Sonoma State lost to Oregon State and knocked out their top 10 chances. And, you know, with Minnesota Duluth picking up a very close 9-6 win over Wisconsin, I guess people really have to look out for that Wisconsin Badgers team, a newcomer to the MCLA, but really coming in with a lot of power and spirit, which shouldn't be expected with the kind of culture that is promoted at that school. They should be really landing a lot of decent recruits from the traditional lacrosse hotbed areas. But yeah, Boston College sneaking in at number 9, Duluth sneaking in at number 10 as Michigan State prepares to play Minnesota Duluth in their season opener. Michigan State, of course, has now dropped out of the poll, I believe, into week 7, Michigan State, of course, sitting there at the 11th spot, having not played yet. So going up against the number 10th ranked Minnesota Duluth team, that could really shift a lot of things around as far as the newcomers in the top 10 picture for D1.
Well, and as we stay around the border between the top, top 10 and the bottom 10 of the top 20, which is a little bit confusing to talk about, were there any big losses for teams that you thought were going to break in or trying to break in this week?
Oh, I definitely think that it comes right back to Sonoma State. The Seawolves were, you know, our program that's been to the MCLA championship game before, has won an MCLA championship game before, you know, really very, a lot of a rich tradition coming out of that program. Dallas Hartley from Chapman is a Sonoma alum. Phil Keebler from Oregon is a Sonoma alum. And they really had a lot of off-season hype and were really promoting that they were looking to compete for the top spot in the WCLL, as Stanford has kind of has arisen as a dark horse, and the dark horse from last year, Cal Poly, has kind of fallen off. But Sonoma was ranked number 11th last week, going up an Oregon State team that they should have beat. Oregon State pulled off the 9-7 upset, and we're still not even done talking about that game. As it sits right now, Sonoma lost that game and drops down to the number 15 spot. So when you talk about tonight's matchup with Texas, it's really a pretty monumental bracket buster game, because if Texas should not win the Lone Star Alliance, they should still be in good contention for an at-large bid. But they'll, of course, come back to that Sonoma for the out-of-conference consideration. And, of course, Sonoma can't really count on a conference championship playing in the same league as Stanford and Cal Poly. So a win over the Longhorns, a team that they should hope to beat tonight and then see Texas win the LSA championship to really help their out-of-conference resume if they should not win their conference title. As confusing as that all sounds, that loss for Sonoma State was really monumental as far as how Division I ranking shaped up this week.
And, we would be remiss to talk about Division I without talking about your favorite programs from the SCLC.
my home conference. I can't help but talk about them. But the SCLC really shot them in themselves in the foot in Division Two, as we'll talk to later. That was really looking to be a consistent competitor for a three-team bid coming out of that conference. But as far as Division One, Virginia Tech was really had a lot of pressure of them to go into the Centennial State and try to pick up a top five win over Colorado or Colorado State. It just didn't happen. And then, you know, this Georgia Tech game will, of course, join a very important list of end of season rivalry games. That will be among the nation's best. Georgia Tech has been a bit of a down program as of late, but have really transitioned back up into the elite ranks. And I think that it's interesting that Georgia Tech sits at the number 16 spot in the poll with a 4-2 record, losing to, of course, Virginia Tech and UCF, who's really the Loyola Marymount of the East, really that annoying mosquito that kind of just jumps in with decisive wins on that of very strong teams. But UGA is currently 8-0, undefeated at this point, and actually ranked one spot below Georgia Tech at the 17 spot. But again, when you talk about MCLA culture and the way that these BCS football schools compete in this league and the way that they kind of schedule their seasons to play each other at the end of the year, similar to Michigan, Ohio State at the varsity ranks, and what we see on ESPN football, Arizona and Arizona State, we talked about in the spring feature on InsideLacrosse.com last year, Florida State, BYU, Utah, and Georgia Tech will be among those elite games this year, having been a bit of an insignificant one as Georgia Tech's been rebuilding since their days of winning SCLC championships and seeing success at the MCLA National Tournament.
Well, and let's move on to the Division II poll. We'll stay down south, as I would imagine a lot of the movement comes out of the Sailfin shootout. How'd that unfold for fans that weren't paying attention?
Again, as you talk about the parity that comes from Division One to Division Two, if you want to talk about a big loss for Sonoma State that really crushed their top 10 hopes, Palm Beach Atlantic was really flying high. Over there, a number two win over Grand Valley. Grand Valley unable to get out in the full field scenario, dealing with a bit of buff legs, dealing with some food poisoning, not playing the Sailfish at full strength, and the Sailfish basically flying a little bit too high, or you know, swimming too close to the currents, if you will, coming off that win over the Lakers and losing to SCAD. You know, that took them from a 15 spot in the poll to a 12 spot. But again, that should have been a weekend where they broke into the top 10 and secured themselves at large berth, regardless of their matchup with Sam Houston State that comes in tonight. Sam Houston State has really been on a tear as of late. Their win over Elon is nothing short of extraordinary, and it goes to reason that they regain into the poll now as a top 10 team, tied with Grand Valley for number 9. And yeah, I think that really a lot of the shaking up coming out of the Sailfish shootout. It's interesting to see that Briarcliff holding strong with the top 10 ranking now at number 6 as they 10 gold a conference rival in Bridgewater, and North Dakota State able to pull out an 11-5 win over Northern Colorado, making people forget about the really uneven loss that they suffered to Westminster, who is now the number 2 team in the country, sandwiched in between St. Thomas and St. John's, the UMLC foes in top 3 MCLA Division II lacrosse. Concordia also playing good defensive ball, ranked number 4 right now.
Well, and as we move along, we will get to Franklin's 15 minutes of fame. And before we get started, Dave, I got to talk about, you know, we already made the light of this a little bit earlier in the podcast, but the fact is that, you know, when you look back at some of the players and coaches that you've been awarding a lot of attention to here in this spot, maybe some of those, you know, kind of pre-existing tendencies are coming out a little bit as a former player in the SCLC, offensive player in the SCLC yourself?
If that's the case, it's not intentional. It was brought to my attention a few times throughout the social media community. So for anybody that was upset with my Franklin's 15 minute of fame selections to this point, I apologize. I thought that they were pretty deserving opponents. I always backed up their selections with their accomplishments. But, you know, I've taken note of it, and I definitely want to bring parity to the segment. So, Terry, brace yourself. As far as the players are concerned in this week's segment, I've got not one but two defensive players from West Coast schools.
Well, why don't we kick it off then?
Well, as far as Division I is concerned, our Division I player of the week receiving Franklin's 15 minutes of fame, a game that we'll stop talking about after this, but Oregon State's 9-7 upset win over Sonoma State, really putting the Beavers on the map as they, of course, sneak into the poll now, number 20. People have been talking about this Oregon State program a lot and their sophomore goalie, Nick Widmer, who had 17 saves against the Seawolves. The PNCLL, again, has mostly been dominated by Oregon and Simon Fraser to this point. Washington has been a player as well, in the past, but Oregon State, of course, Oregon being an emerging lacrosse hotbed, having produced, products such as, Connor Martin and Peter Baum. Oregon State, of course, starting to, taste some of the fruit that comes out of the, high school and youth level that has been, getting a lot of, improvements and a lot of attention and a lot of notoriety in, the Oregon region as of late. So, Nick Widmer to lead his team with 17 saves over an 11th ranked Sonoma State team that's won an MCLA championship in their history. I will give credit to him. And as we move on to our Division One Coach of the Week that receives Franklin's 15 minutes of fame, we're gonna go with Ken Lovick from Georgia Tech. Terry, I'm sorry. Do you have something to say about that?
Oh, I missed my cue. But yeah, I mean, you're not really kind of, you know, branching out too much there, Dave.
All right, listen, Ken has done a fantastic job again. Georgia Tech was a program that won SCLC championships, competed with the likes of Virginia Tech, Florida, and Florida State in seasons past. It's a revitalized program. He says that he doesn't have the talent that he used to have as the sport has grown and as the other programs have grown around him in the SCLC. He has kids that work really hard for him. They're 5-0. Since the two losses they suffered to, of course, Virginia Tech, who is currently king of the SCLC, and UCF, the LMU of the East, as I'm going to continue to call them. So, Ken Lovick is, a deserving coach that receives Franklin's 15 minutes of fame, this week, despite being from the SCLC. We can't punish the guys from the SCLC, Terry.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But on the D2 side, I hope we see a little bit more geographic distribution.
I promise to give you that. We'll start off with, of course, our Division II player of this week. Receiving Franklin's 15 minutes of fame is a close defenseman, a senior for the Westminster Griffins. His name is Matthew Lamborn. He leads the team currently with 20 ground balls. He has 4 points on the season with 2 goals coming against Northern Colorado and, of course, top-ranked St. Thomas. So I